from my heart, from my mind, from my strength, I will worship you.
Does anybody have a hard time waking up today? I just feel like we've been up for like hours. My alarm went off, my little, you know, do-do-do-do-do on my iPhone, and I was like, where am I? Waking up is hard to do.
Patience going down, do-be-do-down-down. Patience going down, do-be-do-down-down. Patience going down, do-be-do-down-down. Waking up is hard to do.
We just read in Ephesians chapter 5 about waking up. And Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Waking up is kind of like a resurrection. There's a similarity between waking up and rising from the dead. Paul was talking about how we should be living our lives. I don't know if you picked that up in what we were reading. He's talking about how we should live our lives. And sometimes, to be honest, we kind of fall asleep in life. We live in a dark world, and especially the guy in the bottom, because sometimes I hope he ain't moving. Sometimes, gang, we need to wake up. Sometimes there are things in our lives that need changing in all of our lives. I think we need to wake up to the fact that things can change. That's what I want to challenge you with this morning. Things can change. In fact, I will try to do this throughout the message. You say this with me. Things can change. Things can change. One more time so get used to it. Things can change. Jack Welch, former CEO of General Electric, said, change before you have to. That's why. Robert C. Gallagher, retired chairman of Associated Bancorp, said, change is inevitable, except from a vending machine. Billy Crystal said, change is such hard work. Yeah. I want to talk about things in our lives. Hopeless to change. Sometimes we fall asleep and get stuck into thinking that some things aren't going to change. Now, I want to share something with you. I'm afraid I'm going to lose some of you right off the bat as soon as I introduce the subject. Please, please be patient with me and hear me out. I want to share this as a way of illustration, as a way of reminding us that things that we think can't change actually can change. And I want to talk just for a minute about the subject of homosexuality. This is an illustration. This is an illustration. Before I do, I want to make something very, very clear. The Bible teaches that homosexual activity is wrong. It's sinful. But it teaches that it's no more sinful than all the other things that we do that are wrong. That's important that we understand this. All sin is wrong before God. All sin is wrong before God. And God cares so much for sinners But he gave his son to die on a cross, to die in our place, to pay for our sins so that we could find forgiveness. That's so important that we get that. Jesus, gang, he had a reputation as a friend of sinners. And they threw that in his face all the time. They threw that in his face all the time. They were wondering, why, how come you hang out with such bad people? Jesus would say, it's the sick that need a physician, not the well. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And gang, to be perfectly honest, we are all sinners. Do you understand that? I want to say that right off the bat before we just take a minute to talk about this subject. You see, our society has fallen into a trap of thinking that something like homosexuality is unchangeable. And I'll bet most of us have fallen into that trap. An awful lot of us, that can't be changed. A person is born with it, is the way our world teaches us. To even suggest that a homosexual person could change is considered insensitive and ignorant nowadays. Look at what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6. Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you look carefully, you see that homosexuals is in that list. It's part of that list. But you got to be honest. So are drunkards, thieves, and idolaters. And the top of the list is the fornicators. That's a broad word. That's sex outside of marriage. That's sex before you get married. That's sex with somebody else that's not your spouse. It's all kinds of stuff. And God considers it all wrong. But Paul goes on to say in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, he says this, watch this. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul not only points out that some of the people in Corinth were those things. Some of the people in Corinth were those things. Nothing new about this stuff. Some of them were those things, but things happened. The implication is they changed. They were. They're no longer those things. They were changed, and in fact, they were forgiven. Things can change. Let's say that again. Things can change. I know that for some of you, just telling you Bible verses isn't enough. You will tell me that modern psychology doesn't believe that a person with a homosexual orientation can or even should change. You might tell me that if someone tried to change a person's sexual orientation, it might even be harmful to that person. I'd like to encourage you to rethink that idea. Why? Here's from an article. You can find this stuff on the internet. Many reputable scientists who are experts in the fields have started to change their ideas and saying that things that change is possible. One fellow is Dr. Robert Spitzer. He's been called the most influential psychiatrist of the 20th century. He's got more than 275 publications to his credit. He published a peer-reviewed paper in the Archives of Sexual Behavior. The purpose of his study was to evaluate the claim that homosexual orientation is immutable or unchangeable. And consequently, he came to the conclusion, or to challenge the idea that it was immutable and that change is impossible. Spitzer indicated that of the 200 people in the study, many of them increased in the frequency and satisfaction of heterosexual activity. He also noted that, quote, almost all of the participants reported substantial changes in the core aspects of sexual orientation, not merely overt behavior. More significantly, he said, he reported that therapy was helpful. No, I'm sorry, I'm the wrong part. More significantly, he wrote that 11% of the men and 37% of the women reported complete change. Spitzer said that those results go beyond anecdotal information and provide evidence that reparative therapy, that means changing, is sometimes successful. Moreover, he concluded that, quote, this study provides evidence that some gay men and lesbians are able to also change the core features of sexual orientation. But what about the claim that this kind of therapy is harmful? According to Spitzer, there wasn't evidence of harm. To the contrary, he said, the participants reported that therapy was helpful in a variety of ways beyond changing sexual orientation itself. Now, the obvious response is that people will say, well, this Spitzer fellow is an anti-gay homophobe. He's probably a Christian or something like that. You're wrong. This is the man who fought for homosexual causes. Spitzer was the architect behind the movement in 1973 to remove homosexuality as an illness from psychiatry's Manual of Mental Disorders, known as the DSM. This was a monumental milestone in the history of gay rights, spearheaded by Spitzer himself. Can things change? Yes, they can. Things can change. Now, I'm not trying to get up here on an anti-gay rampage. That's not where I'm going. This is an illustration to show that some of the things that we have begun to think are unchangeable, not quite so. Things can change. You hear me? You say it. Things can change. Things can change even without God's help. This is just human effort, and things can change. Well, let's think about what can change. This is not a sermon about homosexuality. It's about change. For some of us, there are areas in our lives that we have decided are just unchangeable. We see the things in our lives, they're just too big to deal with. Some of us are just tired of trying, and we've given up. Sometimes it's the emotional things, like anger. We make excuses for our anger, and we say, hey, well, that's just who I am. It's just who I am. Others, it's something like depression. Some of you struggle daily with depression, and you see no way out of the dark cave that you live in. Some of you, it's anxiety, it's worry. You're worried about everything. You worry about your finances. You worry about your job. You worry about your kids. You worry about everything. Things can change. You say it. Things can change. Some of us, it's behaviors. I know some of you struggle with things like alcohol and drugs. I understand that. You've tried to change. You haven't been able to do it. Though I got to tell you, there are more than a few people in this room that have changed. In this area alone, alcohol and drugs, how many in this room have changed? Look around you. Look around. Keep your hand up for a second. I'm not saying to show these people off. Put your hands down. I'm trying to remind you that things can change. You're not a failure because you're struggling. I want to tell you what's ahead for you. Things can change. Some people, it's sexual addiction. It might be the draw of pornography. And you're not out front with it. You kind of keep it behind. You keep the door closed and all this stuff. But you struggle and you feel guilty. And you wish it wasn't so. You wish you didn't have this over, around your neck. You know what? Things can change. Some of us, here's one of my top 10, weight. And I'll tell you, this is the reason I'm doing this sermon. Because when I get to the verse that I really want to get to, this is what I was thinking about. Over this last year, I've gotten to thinking, you know what? I'm just stuck this way. Don't laugh, Maurice. I'm being honest here with you. I've fallen into the trap of thinking it just isn't going to change. And I was so convicted by this verse that I'm going to be sharing with you in a minute that I got to thinking, darn it, how dare I preach on this and not face this? Because it can change. It can change. Things can change. Well, I think you should say that again. Things can change. For some of you, the issue is eternity. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some of you sitting here this morning who deep, deep down, you are convinced that there is no way God could ever love you. And I'll tell you, if I was God, I would agree with you. Aren't you glad I'm not God? Because I got news for you. God does love you. There are some of you who think there's no way, because of the things that you've done, that you will ever expect to be in heaven. You come to church, you put on the little bright face, you try to say the right things. Maybe you learn some of the lingo like, praise the Lord, brother. See, I fit in. You've learned to endure Mary's hugs at the door. You've learned all the secrets, the ins and outs of church. But deep down inside, you are so afraid that you're not going to make it. I got news for you. Things can change. Things can change. I think you should say that again. Things can change. He loves you so much. You so much. He gave his son to die on the cross to pay for you. So don't you dare laugh at his face or sneer at him thinking, oh, you'd never love me. He did this for you. The Bible says, why were you sinners? He died for you. He's also the one that proved that he'd already paid the price because he rose again on the third day. And I don't have time to do this morning, but it is one of the most verifiable historical facts in history that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You go on our website if you quite are, I'm not sure. Go on our website, look for the special event sermons and look for Easter. And you'll have probably half a dozen of them that I've done over the years about proof of the resurrection. He did it. He paid for your sins. And all you have to do is to choose to say yes and to believe in him. Now, let me talk about the tools for change. What are some of the things? And you know what? You can come up to me afterwards and say, well, you forgot this. I know. I'm only going to give you three things. I'm just giving you the primer here. Tools for change. A man's driving along the highway, and he sees a rabbit hopping across the middle of the road. He swerves, tries to miss the rabbit, but the rabbit jumps right in front of the car and is hit. The driver, being a sensitive man, as well as an animal lover, pulled over to the side of the road and got out to see what had become of the rabbit. Much to his dismay, the rabbit was dead. The driver felt so awful he began to cry. A woman driving down the highway saw the man crying on the side of the road, and she pulled over. She steps out of the car and she asked the man what was wrong. I feel terrible. Is that good enough? I feel terrible, he explained. I accidentally hit this rabbit and killed it. The woman told the man not to worry. She knew what to do because she's a woman, right? Right, women? Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. She went to her car trunk and she pulls out a spray can. She walks over to the limp dead rabbit, sprays the entire contents of the can onto the rabbit, and miraculously, the rabbit comes to life, jumps up, waves its paw at the two humans, and hops down the road. 50 yards away, the rabbit stops, turns around, waves, hops down the road. Another 50 yards, turns, waves, and hops down the road another 50 yards. The man is astonished. He can't figure out what substance could be in the woman's spray can. He ran over to the woman and he said, what's in your spray can? What did you spray on the rabbit? Silly rabbit.
The woman turned the can around so the man could read the label. And it said, hair spray restores life to dead hair, adds permanent wave. Now, I got to admit, I don't have a magic hairspray that will wake up the dead hairs in this room.
But I got some helpful tools that will help sleepy believers if you're ready to change. And the first one is the Holy Spirit. This is the key. We talked in the sunrise service about the change that went on in the apostles, and I only told you half the story. Because half of the story is the resurrection. It happened. They saw it. He changed everything. That was the point of the sermon in the sunrise service, if you missed it. But the other thing, the pairing up, it wasn't just the resurrection, but it was the Holy Spirit. Between the resurrection and the Holy Spirit, these guys were different. This is the verse. This is the verse. You might want to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is the verse I've been thinking about. I've been kind of musing on this verse for about a month now, getting ready for this service. And we're just going to look at it very briefly. But this is what this is all about, gang. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Paul writes this. He says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Let me read this again. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," that's the Holy Spirit, "and if the Holy Spirit dwells in you," he says, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." The phrase "give life," there's a single Greek word that translates that. It's the Greek word zoopoieo. Two words stuck together, the word "life" and the word to make life. It can be translated to cause to live, to make alive, by spiritual power to invigorate, to be endued with new and greater powers of life. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Now, some of you might challenge me on this, and you might say, well, Rich, that verse is just talking about the resurrection from the dead, that we will, in the end, be given new bodies, and our bodies will be raised with new life. And I would probably say, yeah, you probably could apply it that way. But if you read the context of Romans chapter 8, it's not the context of Romans chapter 8. The context is much more than that. The context of Romans 8 is about the power to live differently. It's about the power to change. Think about the kind of power it took to raise Jesus from the dead in the grave 3 days. I mean, we're not talking, you know, my dear medical professionals in this room, we're not talking about somebody doing a rampart on them, you know, and doing the chest compressions and maybe getting the paddles and stuff like this. No, 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 no. He's dead. He's wrapped in linen, 100 pounds of spices or so, the tomb sealed up, and he comes back to life after 3 days. What kind of power could that be? Last Sunday, I don't know if any of you noticed this, on the worldwide internet web thing. There was a company called Tiger Direct. I'll bet Earl buys stuff from Tiger Direct. I don't know if you saw this awesome, awesome thing that was available last Sunday. What was last Sunday's date? April 1st. And they were offering this. The Cube X10, X15 is a miniature nuclear reactor that can power an entire city for 50 years. And it even comes with its own plutonium. Of course, it was, you know, up on the website last Sunday for April Fools. But wouldn't that be amazing? A tiny, just in your, you stick it under your desk, you know, a little mini nuke. And in the article it says, you know, pending Nuclear Regulatory Commission approval, you know, something like this. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, you could totally go off with the electrical grid, couldn't you? I mean, for 50 years, powering the entire city, you know, like the size of Cincinnati or something, Cleveland, you know, who knows? Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? God has made available to us the power of the resurrection for our daily lives. That means things can change. You say that again. Things can change. When I was talking about the kinds of things that can change, I was scratching the surface. Were you thinking about things in your life that you wish could change? Were you? Things can change. You say that again with me. Things can change. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then God has already given you the power supply. He's already put the Spirit of God in your life. He's already put it there. And you are a believer, aren't you? Some of you. I'm speaking to somebody I love a whole lot right now. We're looking eye to eye. The rest of you, I'm not talking about you. I know you are a believer, and the Holy Spirit's in you. He's given you the power, the ability to change. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I can't help but think that you're here for a reason this morning. Because God extends to you an offer, an opportunity to step into God's kingdom. To say, yes, I need you. I need you, God, in my life. I need your forgiveness for my sin, and I need the power to change. The Holy Spirit is one of the tools. I was just, I was apologizing to the Lord this morning, thinking, I hate calling God a tool, but I didn't know how else to say it. He's everything, the Holy Spirit. Another tool I would call helpful people. Because, gang, sometimes God wants to use people in your life. Sometimes you need to go to a doctor. And some of you think, well, my doctor hasn't helped me. Well, maybe you need to go to a different doctor. I don't know. But sometimes you need to go to a doctor. One day, shortly after the birth of their new baby, the mother had to go out for some errands. So the proud papa stayed home to watch his wonderful new son. Soon after the mother left, the baby started to cry. The father did everything he could do to think of, but the baby wouldn't stop crying. Finally, the dad got so worried, he decided to take the baby to the doctor. After the doctor listened to the father tell him all about what he'd done to stop the baby crying, the doctor began to examine the baby's ears, his chest, and went down into the diaper area. When he undid the diaper, he found that it was full. Here's the problem, said the doctor. He needs change. The father was perplexed, but the diaper package said it was good for up to 10 pounds. You know what, gang? Sometimes you need to go to the doctor, and that's not a bad thing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some of you are so afraid of what the doctor's going to tell you. It's better to know the truth. It's better to deal with things. It's better to face life. Don't run from it. Go to the doctor. Some of you need to think about getting to a therapist, and I'm serious about that. Don't be embarrassed about seeing a good Christian counselor. Oh, my gosh. There are some good Christian counselors out there, and they can be very helpful.